Welcome to A Burning Fire. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. In the study of the book of Romans and in the 12th chapter, the Apostle Paul presents to us here in this chapter, which is probably one of the most outstanding chapters of all the Bible that tells the Christian how he is supposed to live. Having taken advantage of the system of salvation that God has delivered, the Christian is obligated to serve. He has obligations, he has duties, he has privileges, he has benefits. And the Apostle Paul is expressing these in this 12th chapter. And we come now to the 15th verse, and here we learn a characteristic of a Christian. At least it should be characteristic of the Christian. Rejoice with them that do rejoice, and weep with them that weep. You see, the Christian, he's a sympathetic person. He's an understanding person. He will weep with those who are in sorrow. And at the same time, having more cause for rejoicing than anybody, he will rejoice with others who rejoice. We ought to be made glad, and we are made glad, when others do well. Then he speaks of a trait and a characteristic of unity. Be of the same mind one toward the other. Mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceits. You see, the Christian, he thinks alike his other brethren. He has the same standard. He has the same measure. He uses these same things to keep a unity one with another. They're together in the one body of Jesus Christ. And this is the unity that the Lord prayed for. He wants his people to be united in the faith and united one with the other and to think alike. Christians do that. And they do not seek themselves. They do not seek the high places. They do not mind the high things. You know, some people, they give their lives over to seek attention, to get attraction to themselves. They want to be, well, I sometimes call it, they want to be the big hen in the pen. They want to be the top man on the totem pole. They want to be sure that they sit at the head of the table. They want to promote themselves. They do not have the interest of others, but they have interest only in themselves. A Christian is not like that. A Christian is not wise in his own conceits. This is much like, isn't it, what Paul said in the earlier part of this chapter, for a person not to think more highly of himself than he ought to think. What glorious traits Paul is urging here upon the Christian. Here are qualities of character that will likely occupy our entire life to try to develop and to acquire. They don't always come easily. We have to work to develop these kind of qualities in our lives. But this is the goal. We want to be Christ-like. These are characteristics that were like our Savior. And then in verse 17 and 18, Paul says, "Recompense to no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. And if it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men." Now, honesty is a trait of the Christian. There is so much dishonesty in the world, isn't it? It used to be, at least to a greater extent than it is today, that a man's word, that's his bond, you can depend upon him. He but honest in what he just did, or what he does, and what he says. Well, the Christian is still that way. The Christian is honest and above board. He will provide things not only honest in the sight of his brethren, he will provide for things that are honest in the sight of all of those round about. And he does not seek conflict. Now, the Christian is in conflict. He's in a warfare. He is in a battle against the devil that seeks to destroy the souls of men. And he uses the weaponry that God has given him, but he doesn't seek conflict. He doesn't go out trying to seek a fight. He wants to avoid that as much as possible. He seeks peace with all as far as possible. Now, sometimes you encounter those with whom you simply cannot have peace. That's because they were not allowed to have peace. They want conflict. There are those that are very hostile to the Christian and to his Christian convictions. And as a result, there is a lack of peace between them. But it's not because the Christian wants it that way. The Christian does want peace. We want peace with God more than anything else. And that's the peace that passeth understanding. That's the peace that we really desire. Verse 19 through 21, Paul said, "Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath, for it is written, 'Vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord.' Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in so doing, thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good." Now, this is a quality that the Christian may find very difficult to develop. You know, as we've mentioned before, when people may offend, sometimes people have the idea that I'm going to even the score. I'm not going to let them get away with it. Well, be sure, friend, your sins will find you out. They're not going to get away with it. Nobody's going to get away with their sins. They're certainly not going to get away with it with God. God takes note of all that we do and say and think, and God will judge, and he will judge rightly. But it's not up to the Christian to seek vengeance. He does not try to retaliate with harm, even to those who might want to harm him. God has said, "Vengeance is mine. I will repay." What's Paul saying to the Christian? You don't have to even the score. God will, in God's way and through the mechanism that God has provided, he will take care of the wrath of the evildoer by his own wrath against them. Now, we're going to learn in the 13th chapter one of the ways that God does manifest his wrath against the evildoer, and that's through the proper use of civil government. But the attitude of the Christian, it's so different from that of others. If someone does him harm, he will not seek to do harm in retaliation. He will not seek vengeance upon that individual. He will actually be willing to do good for him. If he's hungry, he'll feed him. If he's thirsty, he'll give him drink. And what would be the result of that? Why, it would be heaping coals of fire upon that enemy, which simply means there's a possibility that will burn out this animosity that the person has toward the Christian. Now, it may not always do that, depending upon the nature of the enemy of the Christian. But you see, the Christian is different. And that's what the Apostle Paul is stressing here in this 12th chapter. For 11 chapters, he explained the details of God's plan of salvation for man. And those who take advantage of that plan by believing and obeying as the Lord instructs, he assumes a responsibility to live after the likeness of the Savior, Jesus Christ. And in doing that, why, he will bring glory unto God. Paul is teaching us here, follow the way of Christ and not self. You know, we read and we studied back in the book of Judges not too long ago, one of the problems in those disastrous days for ancient Israel, and it's brought out twice in the book of Judges, everybody did that which was right in his own eyes. Well, that's the trouble of much of our society today. People do what they want to do according to their standards, and they ignore their Creator. They ignore the ways of God. They ignore their judge. But the Christian, he is different. Now, the Christian knows that ultimately everything is going to work out all right for him because he's in Christ, and that's where salvation is. And he will strive to walk in the paths of salvation that the Apostle Paul is spelling out here in this 12th chapter. Beginning with chapter 12, and into chapter 13, 14, and 15, Paul is teaching, Christian, you have been blessed with the forgiveness of your sins. You have been washed clean by the blood of Jesus Christ. Now here's things that you are to do. There are obligations and duties that you have. You are to develop a certain kind of character. And there are things from which you are to abstain. You are to hate certain things, the things that God hates. You are to love certain things and people, as does Almighty God. And brethren, we are not to take revenge upon others into our own hands. This is what's going on in so much of our society today. We're seeing people as they riot, as they burn, as they steal, as they commit adultery, as they run around half-clothed, most anything just to do their own way. Well, that's not characteristic of the Christian. The Christian is a different individual. Oh, if the world would only adopt the ways of Christ, so much of the strife and the tension and the anxiety and the problems and the pain and the misery that we see in our world, it would be eliminated. It would be erased. This passage of Scripture is teaching the Christian to submit to the wrath of God against the evildoer. He is not to try to handle the justification of things all by himself. You see, the Christian's attitude then is to render good for evil, not return evil for evil. Justice demands, of course, that such be done. You know, God would not be just if he did not punish the evildoer, and he will. As we have mentioned in the Old Testament, Moses warned the people of Israel, be sure, your sins will find you out. Well, so much of our world simply does not believe that. They think they can do their own thing, and there'll be no dire consequences to come upon them. But that's a mistaken idea that they have. The Christian knows that he's responsible. The Christian knows that he was going to give an answer to God. This chapter, without question, this 12th chapter, is one of the greatest chapters of the new covenant of Jesus Christ, especially with respect to the daily conduct and the Christian demeanor that God expects of those who are Christians. Chapter 8 of Romans, alongside chapter 12. Oh, they deserve our concentration and our study, because they teach us of the blessings that we have in the Lord, and they teach us of our responsibilities to the Lord. Now, as we move forward concerning the Christian's behavior in this life, we're going to see in chapter 13 a great chapter regarding Christian living, and that is the Christian's relationship to civil government. This is important in our day because, friend, we're seeing even in the land that has offered through our Constitution freedom of religion, more and more people of some branches of government and some attitudes of politics, they want to suppress the faith of Christ, and they do not respect God's use of civil government. We'll talk about that in chapter 13. We hope that you'll be with us. This is A Burning Fire. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. Until next time.